Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Did you see our guests jam into the music?
Absolutely.
Man, I'm telling you.
Musical people.
Musical theater people in studio today. I love it.
I think we all are.
Michael, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too, on this very, very clear and windy day. You can see forever, right?
Swept all those clouds away, didn't it?
Yeah,
I
think so.
I'll take wind over rain, though.
What about heat over cool, though?
That's a tough one. I like a nice middle temperature like this, so I was happy when I got out of the car today.
Because you, living at Malibu, you must get really cold temperatures.
I drive through. I have to take off like four layers in the valley because the temperature is so much
different.
It can be 25 degrees sometimes. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
My goodness.
No doubt. Well, here it is, as you said, Michael, April 12th, and we have a fantastic show in store today on State of the Arts.
Indeed we do. We are privileged to have with us, ladies and gentlemen, two very gifted performers who are starring in the five-star theatricals production of Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame. Please welcome Will North and Cassandra Murphy to the show.
That's right. They've taken their bows on the radio. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks
We're
for
good.
Having us.
Good to see you both, man. Of course, Will, a friend of the show and with one of our favorite groups here in Southern California. Hunchback, what an exciting story to tell.
It's one of my favorite. Actually, of all the Disney musicals that are out there, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, it's absolutely my favorite. The music, just soaring score. And it's just such a heartfelt story that is, I mean, it's just touching. It's heartbreaking, in fact.
It is, no doubt about it. Wow. Obviously, I mean, the story's been told so many different times, and I think this version is by far one of the most effectual. It certainly gets your emotions going. It gets kids excited. But more than anything, I mean, it's a story that adults and kids can love together, which is a cool thing.
100%. And not only that, it's very timely.
Yeah.
Given, you know, all of the various things in our world these days. Just
that's
that
true.
Whole
isn't it? And, you know, that comes with a lot of shows that Disney has invested in, you know, in musicals. The life lessons that we get out of these things.
That's right.
Is tremendous. And you're right. Timely couldn't be better. And also couldn't be better because you're taking your family. And you know, we say on this show all the time, put down your remotes and get away from that TV and get out there and see live theater. And
that's right.
And help save the arts.
That's right.
Because I think the arts, you know, changes everyone's perspective on life. It makes you feel good. It makes you smarter. It makes you more interesting, as opposed to not. I mean, you know, there's wonderful things to see in film and TV. That's for sure. But there's a lot of not so wonderful things to see, and that's what the younger ones gravitate to.
That's right.
Violence and, you know, not understanding that it's evil really at the time that they're so young. But
well, of course, one of the last shows I saw at Five Star was when they did Little Mermaid, and I had my daughter there. She was five at the time, and to watch her lean in on her seat as opposed to when she's watching television and leaning back and zoning out. You know, it's interesting to see those kids engage and start to understand. Wow, those are people telling stories, not just a box, which
right.
is fun. And obviously, anything we can do to make our children better and brighter. I sure wish my parents had made me brighter. Oh, I stood such a chance. If only.
I think you did pretty well.
Hey, Michael, it is time to pay some bills. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's
yes.
do it.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board. See how I did that?
Nice.
As presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas. For meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world. Renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
Yeah.
Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win.
No doubt about it. We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Yes, we are.
Couple of great resources there.
Yeah, you know, one thing that we didn't mention was how to actually win that trip.
It's because I was trying to keep everybody from doing it so I can get the cruise. See, if I keep everybody else from entering, that's right. Yeah, oh, that'd be nice, man. Will. Be a lot of fun. Yes. We could all make an escape, a State of the Arts on tour.
Yeah.
I like it. I like
sweet.
It. How can people win?
Well, by simply listening to this program, whether you are listening to it live and you're on our network page, on our LA Talk Radio Network page, or you download it later and go to that page, there will be a Princess logo. You simply click on it, you input very little information and send it off, and you are in the sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. So it's easy, and, you know, their entertainment on board this ship is spectacular. Not on just this ship.
Would you call it state of the art?
I would.
They truly, I mean, this is a great vacation. There's no doubt about
yeah.
it. I mean, really,
have you ever been on a cruise?
Coast. I've never been on a cruise. My parents took one and came back, and I swear they almost locked
did
us in the house
back
and
new?
Left. They did. They came did back you? New, although they didn't take Princess, as I recall. But they came back, and it was interesting, too, to see how, when you go out on a cruise like that, how coming back to your world feels so much different. Yeah. You know, you kind of look at things with a different perspective, and that's a great thing to be able to do to get a little break away from landlocked life. So.
Cassie, have you been on a cruise ever?
Yes.
Will's worked cruises, yeah?
You have.
Absolutely.
Oh, man,
I can tell you some tales.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Save them for embarrassing moments, young man. I got you over there. We need more fodder for the end of the show. Cassie?
I've been on a cruise. I've never worked on a cruise.
Really?
I love cruises.
Whew, man, what a great thing.
You just kind of get to disappear.
Yeah.
And then you get to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Come back new.
Well, and if you're going to take a cruise, Princess is the way to go. Obviously, great resources and big supporters of the arts as well.
Well, you know, it's almost time to talk to our guest, but before we do, Andrew, I haven't seen you in a week. What's your week been like?
It has been hectic, nonstop,
yeah.
with very little theater, which always makes me feel stressed
yes.
out. I feel like I should be trapped in the theater somewhere, right? But I just finished Princess Ida fight stuff, and then we were coming back through, and I did a film, and then came back down, and my kids had spring break. So everything
well,
was dealing with
that.
Children.
Princess Ida fight stuff?
Of course, the opera, the Gilbert and Sullivan,
yes.
Which I did the fight choreography for, and then a good buddy of mine was doing a film in Arizona, so I finished up the fights there as well. And then I came back and started dealing with my kids' spring break.
Right.
So one of the things that I found most unusual was trying to get the kids to actually get out of the house before like noon, because they when they're on spring break, you know, they get used to just lounging around the house, but they go back to school. So you go to wake them up and they're thinking, no, I'm not getting up at this 8 o'clock. I want to sleep in because their bodies are growing and all this sort of thing. So I was just running all morning long. Normally I'm up and doing stuff, and today it was just like all kids all the time. So it's nice to be here with adults and performers to talk theater. Things like that.
Theater.
I'm happy about theater, which talks some theater, some musical theater.
Yeah.
Gonna go see a show. Other great things this week, though, Michael, is I had a chance to talk to a new author who's writing a book that's going to be adapted into a film. And this person comes from a theater background. I knew her from my playwriting days, and she was just so inspired by the LA theater scene. She'd gone to see Aladdin at the Pantages on my recommendation, a couple other things, and just said, "Wow, you know, I was in LA a few years ago, but theater was kind of dead and nothing was going on, and now it feels so vivid and so alive." I thought that was really cool to hear from somebody
who very nice.
Stepped away for a few years and came back in and really noticed how good LA theater's become, how many great things are going on.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
How about you? I know you got a lot of life stuff going on. How you been?
Yeah, life stuff, and also getting 3D Theatrical's revival of Parade, their Ovation Award winning musical from back in 2014.
That's right. Starring a number of friends of the show as well,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Most of the original cast from that time period is coming back to the show, and Davis Gaines has joined the show as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
a
nice
big
addition.
Project. We just did the initial release announcing Davis today, and
that's great.
Getting excited to go see McCoy Rigby's South Pacific.
That's right. We'll be there this weekend
yes,
at the Valley Performing
Arts
Center.
Which is where it starts before it goes down to La Mirada Theater for Performing Arts. And they always do such great, great shows, just like Five Star and 3D. We've got some amazing regional theater companies at last, you know, that know what they're doing in Southern California. It used to be a different environment, you know, when back in the day when regional theater was acceptable, but it was not what it's become now. It's just like Broadway. What?
Yeah.
What's your slogan, Broadway in your
backyard.
Own backyard?
That's right.
Broadway is closer than you think.
No doubt about it.
Yes, all of it. And it's true. I mean, it's big bang for your buck, and your buck is usually much smaller than you'd have to pay at the Pantages or some other theater like that. Not to avoid those theaters, but...
A couple months ago, I'd played Benedict with a touring group, in Much Ado About Nothing, and they were all regional theater actors, all of whom just make their living touring from one house to another, and such chops on these people. I mean, the Shakespeare voice is such a unique voice. You know, you can tell when somebody's experienced Shakespeare for a long time, and it was such a pleasure each night to hear these voices just say these rhythmic words and this pentameter all the time, where you really felt like you were sitting in the middle of Stratford sometimes, you know, and it's like you realize how well-trained these performers are that make their living going from one show to the next. They've got to do musical theater one day, they've got to jump in, and they've got to do Shakespeare the next, they've got to do a drama, something avant-garde. It takes a lot of ability to be able to do that.
That's kind of what you do in your work, and you're multitasking.
Desperately try to get a paycheck is what I do, man. Straggling around.
Yeah, but you do a variety of things to get that paycheck.
So. I do. Well, and I've been out here for 20 years, so fortunately I've been lucky to work with some of the greatest people in the industry.
Right.
I get to live in a very beautiful place, but it really is all about what your soul needs. You know, do you get to go into the theater? Do you get to do your job? And then we do film to pay the bills and that sort of thing as well. But I tell you, when I'm out of the theater for a week, I feel lost and alone, ready to get back into it. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I feel somewhat the same way.
Yeah.
Shall we get to it?
What's that you say, Michael?
Shall we get to it, sir?
Now, I'm wondering. For whom, Michael, does that bell toll? Oh, my goodness, let's bring him in.
I would think that it would be for our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, who has over 20 years of theatrical experience, both on stage as a lead performer and backstage as a producer and director. With more than 100 roles to his credit, he has appeared on stages including Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall, the Cinderella Castle Stage, Disney World, the Celebrity Galaxy Cruise Ship, the York Theater, five-star theatricals, and other venues nationwide.
Some of his favorite roles include Pippin in Pippin, Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar, Sky in Guys and Dolls, Tony in West Side Story, and Brick in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. He also spent the past 5 years touring with Southeastern Tour of the Forgotten Carols, and in addition to being an accomplished actor, singer, instrumentalist, and songwriter, he is an award-winning director with credits such as shows on Oklahoma, No Exit, Sweeney Todd, just to name a few.
And one on the business side of entertainment, he moved to Los Angeles to work with Sam Haskell, very famous agent, former VP of Worldwide TV for the William Morris Agency, where he worked on many projects, including producing The Miss America live telecast and reality show and the Duke of Edinburgh Award National Ceremonies. In addition to managing events for Martingale Music recording artist Mary Haskell.
As the resident technical director and production manager of Marymount Los Angeles for a six-year span, some of his work also includes 42nd Street, Oliver, Cats, Much Ado About Nothing, and Peter Pan. Welcome to the Board of Directors at Five Star Theatricals in 2017. He is now bringing his considerable expertise to the theater's helm as its managing director.
And he's in studio with us today to talk about Five Star Theatricals' new production of Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame, where he is starring in which he is starring in the title role on stage at the Cavalier Theater at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, April 20th through 29th. We are so happy to have him join us today on the show. Please welcome, once again, Will North.
Yeah. Welcome, my man. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're redhead today.
I know.
Came back. Did you come back new? My goodness. Look at that.
You did
now,
come back.
This is strictly for the role, yeah?
Absolutely.
It looks great. How excited are you to play this? This is a great piece in literature and a great musical theater show.
Yeah, this has been literally decades in the making for me. Because you know they didn't make The Hunchback of Notre Dame a full-scale musical until very recently. I mean, in the past 10 years. It came out as the animated classic, of course, in 96. And I first did the music back then as Kwasi, but it wasn't a full-scale show yet. It didn't have, 2 hours' worth of content. So This has been, you know, for years one of my favorite roles of all time. So, yeah, the red hair, if you look at Victor Hugo's description of Quasimodo in the novel, that's part of it.
Now, you've read the novel, yes?
Absolutely.
I mean, what an amazing piece of writing. It's a portrait of a character, right? I mean, you look at it, and it's not about all the things that we think the show's about. It's about a man who's hurting in so many different ways. Yeah. Really shocking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, as we kind of touched on at the top, I mean, there's so many parallels to today's kind of culture and the issues that we face that are, you know, it's almost prophetic the way he wrote about kind of the things that we're dealing with today.
Well, you know what I'm interested in asking you is your preparation for the role, because the role is very unique in how it's performed, and both physically and mentally and emotionally. Mm. How do you put all those things together? How do you marry all of
them? And I'll add to that vocally as well, not just as a singer vocally, but literally, Andrew touched on Shakespearean vocal training, and a lot of that really comes into play here because he has a malformed face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're talking about dealing with that, you know, just start at the top of the body and you know, how that affects the sound that comes out of one's mouth. You can't, you know, if you're trying to do something that is going to convey that, but yet do it in a way that's healthy so that you can do it, you know, 8 shows a week if you're on Broadway, but you know, you've got to find a way that is a healthy way to kind of convey that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge. And then I spend the entire show in a squat position. If you're a fan of leg day at the gym, then you'll be a fan of doing this role, because literally I never stand up straight for the entire show. So I'm again trying to, you know, it's a lot of stretching beforehand, and it's a lot of really just being grounded in the legs and in the core. It's a lot like stage combat in that
sense.
I'm
sure, and which of course is your background as well. Yes, I'm
absolutely.
Sure. Good training keep you in shape for that, right?
So do you employ the use of a back brace of any sort, or
no,
back support
and really,
of any sort?
It hasn't been. You know, I don't go home and, you know, have to take a hot shower or anything. I mean, it's doable. It's not, you know, it's not something that I struggle with. It's just that it is a squat.
Well, now you
hours.
Have kiddos too, right?
4 of them, yes.
See, you should be permanently used to being hunched over after the wrestling and the jumping on daddy's back. I remember at one point looking up, and my daughter was just flying at me from a chair at one point. It was like, okay, got to get ready to catch a 7-year-old, you know? So daddies are used to being bent over and hunched
You're
down
right.
all the time.
You're right, and carrying people.
No doubt.
As he carries Esmeralda several times in the show.
Oh, that's interesting,
well.
Right? Yeah.
Sorry.
Not a burden at all, I'm sure.
Not at all. And then you also touched on the emotional elements of the role. I mean, you know, my MFA program was an acting pedagogy program. We got a wide kind of variety of the various techniques of acting, but my personal acting preference is Strasberg. And so I do bring in a lot of emotional recall, sense memory, and everything. And so, you know, just pulling from those times of loneliness, because here's a grown human being who the only contact has been with his, you know, kind of overseer, the Archdeacon Frollo. And he hasn't had that human interaction to the point that he creates these relationships with inanimate objects like the gargoyles and the bells in his bell tower. So, you know, really tapping into those places of, you know, when you've been alone, or when you've, you know, kind of been an outcast, and all those types of experiences that in one way or another we've all been through.
Mm-hmm. It was all of my high school career, talking to gargoyles and looking for someone to pay attention to me. So sad.
You went to such lengths.
That's right. I think this story is impressive to me. I recently did Elephant Man in Rep, where I played Merrick and Treves, which was an amazing experience, because you understand how different the physicality is for both those characters, the strict, rigid Victorian Treves versus the hunched and broken John Merrick. And I've always thought that the parallels with this show were fascinating, because the idea of a physical deformity and how it affects your soul, how it affects how you view yourself and others view you, is such an important thing in life to understand. And understanding what's at the core of, obviously, a good-hearted character like Quasimodo, you understand how important it is for us to truly find out what someone's about. What's that experience been like for you as far as how kids view your character? Do they fall in love with him immediately? Is it that sort of thing? Do you get a good response?
Well, hopefully the kids have a good response. We'll see. I will say, you know, the day that we did the publicity photos, I did the full makeup, and I kept the full makeup on after the photo shoot, you know, all through rehearsals. And so on dinner break, we all went, Greg and Justin Michael Wilcox, some of the other actors of the show, we all went to Chick-fil-A, and I was sitting at the table, and the guy brought us our food, and I carried on a conversation with him, and you could tell that he wasn't exactly sure how to treat me or how to respond to what I was saying. So
that is interesting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Was that your first time you've been out in makeup like that?
With the Quasimodo makeup, right. Yeah. I mean, I've obviously been in stage makeup several
times. Of course. But it's interesting, too, because it is such a drastic change. Now, Merrick and Elephant Man is mostly just physicalized. There's not usually makeup done with it, although I've seen it done both ways. But for Quasimodo, it must be strange to have that apparatus and to feel that. As an actor, you're always told to build from the shoes up, you know. And Quasimodo has so many things about him that have to be tweaked and then physically characterized. As you come through that process, do you have trouble leaving it behind when you go?
You know, it's interesting because I am talking out of the side of my mouth throughout the whole show, and so I do find myself and actually I keep one eye closed the entire time.
Wow!
And so I do
great for depth perception, of course.
I do find that sometimes when I go home or when I wake up first thing in the morning, I am slipping back into it just because I've done it for 8 hours the day before.
Very funny.
So I have noticed some of that. But yeah, the groundedness that you're talking about from the floor up, you know, and that kind of Suzuki kind of theory as well, it does help with stuff like keeping the back from getting sore and those types of things. So it really is, I mean, again, training is so important, as you emphasized earlier.
And a great point, too.
So you keep one eye closed during the entire performance?
Right. In fact, I have the prosthetic piece that Trina White, she's awesome, she's a makeup designer, she's building me a prosthetic that actually is going to come over and cover part of it. I mean, I'll still be able to, if I needed to, open my eye, see, but yeah.
And your mouth is distorted, so you're, what are you doing to get the sound out in the right
kind of way? So that's
where
it really comes from, you know, that kind of technique of vocally, I mean, it's in the mask, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously having that great breath support, but you know, so really I'm still focusing in the same place of the mask, and it's just I'm changing, if you can hear on the radio, all I did right now is I just changed the way my mouth is being held, and so I'm still focusing, but it just changes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a given circumstance, if you will, that is put on top of all of the technique. So it's totally a healthy way of doing it.
Interesting. For John Merrick, I saw the kids in the show and the Elephant Man react very differently to me as a performer when I was in Treves' character versus Merrick's character. They responded very differently to somebody who has a physical deformity.
And one thing I want to touch on, too, that you mentioned is that, you know, they don't always do the makeup. And with other productions of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, they don't always do the makeup. They've just taken, you know, like some smudges of dark. And actually, I've seen some that don't even do anything.
Wow.
And so, you know, one of the concepts that has been done with the show before is that it's, you know, it's kind of an ensemble, and one of the members of the ensemble becomes Quasimodo to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And Misty Wills, our amazing director, she's so creative. And myself and the whole creative team, we all thought it was imperative that this not be someone becoming Quasimodo to tell a story, kind of commenting on him. Yeah. We had to have a real Quasimodo because otherwise the stakes are lowered the whole time.
Yeah,
you know, if everyone knows that it's just someone playing a part and that at the end he's going to walk away and everything's going to be fine, where are the stakes in that? So we wanted to make sure that it was, and that's true for a lot of the characters.
That you can totally buy into this world that he's living in, into who he is. That's so smart. Obviously, this is a great show, and Five Star has such a wonderful history and with all that they do, and they're certainly one of the best companies working around here in Southern California. The bells start ringing Friday, April 20th at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, presented by Five Star Theatricals.
That's right, and for tickets, which range from as low as $35 and upward, may be purchased by calling 800-745-3000 or go online at fivestartheatricals.com. And student, senior, and group discounts are available.
And obviously, if you haven't been up to the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, there's two main stages there, and this one is obviously the biggest. How many seats in that theater?
1,800.
So, and it's obviously a state-of-the-art facility. It's one of my favorite houses.
Largest theaters south of San Francisco.
That's right. You told me that. Yeah, and I mean, this is a huge complex, and so many great places to walk to get dinner. P.F. Chang's, CPK, of course, a bunch of great places at the lakes right across the way. Mastro's, if you want to go get a nice drink.
And if you live in the valley, it is closer than any of the other major regional theaters.
Yes. Easy to get to. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jump off at the Hampshire exit, I believe, usually.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned two names you were working with, your brother being one of them.
that's funny. That's a joke that we keep playing. You know, he's been my brother, my dad, my grandfather. I've joked. Gregory North. Yeah. North is neither one of our actual last names, is the funny part.
One of you couldn't change to South. Just come on. I mean, let's even this thing out here a little bit.
And then wonderful Jason Michael Wilcox.
Yeah, Justin Michael Wilcox, who was in here the first time.
Excuse me, Justin.
Yeah, yeah. When he came in for Peter Pan the last time.
Yeah.
He's one of our favorites, too, no doubt about it.
We also have Adam Hollick, who was our Joseph and Joseph.
That's right.
Dreamcoat, and, of course, who your next guest is.
Absolutely. Gosh,
yes, indeed.
We love her.
And, of course, a lot of wonderful local talents as well. Is David Gilchrist in this one as well?
He's in Beauty and the Beast coming up.
Beauty and the Beast, our summer show.
Wonderful. Which, by the way, quick plug, Susan Egan coming back to do Belle for the first time since being on Broadway.
Amazing. Great. And, I mean, obviously, we should mention your season. You have how many shows this season?
Well, it's a three-show season.
Three shows
this
season.
Beauty and the Beast being the last one. We've already announced Shrek, Matilda, and West Side for the following
great season. Things coming up. We'd encourage you to visit Five Star Theatrical's website there and jump in and find out more about these great things that are going on.
Absolutely.
Michael, shall we take some time and do a live arts calendar?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Tony Award nominee and winner of the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle Award for Best Solo Performance, Orson Bean returns to Pacific Resident Theater in the world premiere of All Right Then, co-starring his wife, Allie Mills, who you may remember best as Norma Arnold in The Wonder Years.
She was wonderful in The Wonder Years.
She really was.
She was. Excuse me. As one of America's best-known storytellers and an undisputed triple threat, Orson Bean has entertained several generations of audiences in all forms of media. His latest comical and genuine extravaganza, he and Allie Mills recount a magical but unlikely meeting that changed the course of their lives forever.
Don't miss this funny, vivid, and synchronistic journey about two artists who beat the odds in the world of entertainment, love, and marriage. All Right Then is the story of how two people who by all odds should have not wound up together have made it, told through humor, pathos, and the occasional song.
So grab your tickets for the show, and the LA Times calls Critics' Choice and Broadway World calls genuine and endearing. All Right Then is on stage for just a few more days of its extended run at the Pacific Resident Theater through April 15th. For tickets or more information, call 310-822-8392 or visit PacificResidentTheater.com.
So many great options for people to get out there and go see some of this wonderful theater going on in LA. And what a great time for it, because the weather's so nice. You can get out, you can go get dinner.
It is nice, except it's playing havoc with my sinuses, which is why I'm clearing my throat
today. I'll make a phone call. We'll get that fixed for you.
Can you do that? All right.
Now, this lovely young lady sitting next to us has been very patient. Do you think she'd like to talk to us on the radio a little bit?
I hope so.
Let's see if she'll do some talking. Our next guest is an award-winning performer who has appeared on stages all over the world. Internationally, she has appeared as Ellen in Miss Saigon, the Macau International Music Festival, for which she received both Broadway World Award nominations as well as Best Actress and Ovation Award nomination for Best Musical.
Regionally, some roles include Mistress Quickly and Queen Isabel in Henry V, Aldonza in Man of La Mancha, for which she received a Robbie nomination for Best Actress, Ava Perón in Evita, which garnered her an Edan Award for Best Lead Performance, and Fantine in the LA premiere and Ovation Award nominated performance of Les Miserables.
She appeared in the role of Kathy Hyatt in the last 5 years and also received a Garland Award for her role as the ghost of Christmas Past in Christmas Carol. Her voice has been heard in TV, film, and studio recordings, including ABC's The Voice Finale, Investigation Discovery's Unusual Suspects, Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One, Choir, and the voice of Mulan in Disney's Mickey and the Magical Map.
But she is here today, ladies and gentlemen, to tell about her starring role as Esmeralda in Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame with Five Star Theatricals, which will be on stage at the Cavalli Theater at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. One more time, April 20th through the 29th. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back this gorgeous woman who has raised the level of beauty in this studio today, Miss Cassandra Murphy. How are you?
Yeah. You can keep playing the applause fine through the whole
I want to put it as my phone ringer, you know, just walk around with that. Exactly. I also like the guy who says our voices, our names at the beginning of the show. I want him to introduce me whenever I walk into a room.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew David James.
Me too.
How you doing? Good to see you.
I'm good. It's so beautiful. Your guys' view is amazing.
Yeah, we've got a nice, oh, nice little piece of real estate.
We don't complain much about it.
That's right. Perfect
and
for radio.
Speaking of Notre Dame.
That's right.
There you go, right across the street.
I had to stop Will earlier. He went over and started trying to ring the bells at the school. It was not appropriate. I had to tackle him in the street. It's brutal.
I would say so.
Obviously, what a fun show for you to get to do. Have you ever done this role before?
I've not done this role before. This is the first time.
Seems like such a natural fit for you, though.
You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about her and how, just as we've gone through rehearsals, how I relate to her. This may be the most of any role I've ever played.
Really?
Mm-hmm. More than the Evita role, where you get to dominate hundreds of thousands of people and change a country's course?
I mean, that's next, but this one's the first one. No, yeah, I think she's just, she just kind of goes. She goes with her heart. She goes with what she believes so strongly. I just think she's such a beautiful character.
And a great role model, too, in so many ways.
Yes, a great role model, yeah.
Well, all of the characters that you've played that we've mentioned, at least here today, have been such iconic roles.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
As Andrew just said, Evita, what an iconic woman to portray. We had recently in the studio with us our friend that had, Andrew, our friend that had done the national tour. I'm so sorry. Her name.
Which one are you talking about? The national tour of Evita.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course.
And her name just completely escaped.
It's been one of those weeks, Michael.
Yeah. I'm
lucky I could make it to the studio today.
Valerie. Perry.
Of course.
Lord. Sorry, Valerie.
Who's played the role? What I think she said 13 times over her life. 13 different productions of Evita. Unbelievable.
Well, on national tour. Yeah. And Hal Prince, you know, chose her personally to do this. So she was amazing in that role too. But iconic women, you played them, and what was it like going to China and playing the role that you played there?
Oh, man. I mean, they are so accepting of American and American culture, and they were so, they were so quiet, you know, and it was just this beautiful clash of culture. It was amazing. It truly was amazing.
So when you say quiet, I recall being in that part of the world where applause was not given at the end of a song, or I was there with handling an act that was in concert there, so, and it threw everybody off. It was Johnny and Marie Osborne.
I'm vastly used to it, just from my general performances around the Southland.
Oh, you are?
Just the dead silence. Yeah, so I'd be great in China, man. I'm good to go.
And the look on people's faces that you can't buy.
That's right. My wife's usually out there clapping, my daughter. That must have been very strange to be across that.
You know, also, but I enjoyed the difference, actually.
You did?
Yeah. We were singing. John Glaudini was the musical director, and I, you know, the last note Ellen sings is big, belty note,
right.
And you do expect applause.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you shouldn't expect it, but
you hope
do.
For it.
And it was dead quiet, and I thought, we just looked at each other, and we were like, let's keep going.
What an American thing I need that clapping, you know?
I mean, this is what they told us when we were there, that it is, in their culture, it's impolite. Which is why they don't do it.
Yeah.
To disturbance to the performer on the stage. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
But it is interesting, too, because your goal as a performer is to reach people, and then not having that acknowledgement of if you reached them or not, it almost seems like, okay, well, I want to finish the relationship. Please help. You know, show me what you thought. That's interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, I just thought of this now, but it doesn't break up the show. I mean, truly, you're just watching somebody's life from beginning to end, or a moment in
their life. It's like a movie.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing to just not expect it and just keep going through your life until the 2.5 hours is over.
So now you're playing Esmeralda. Are there any other women that you want to play that you haven't yet tackled?
Good question.
I've always wanted to play Guinevere in Camelot, and no one will do it.
Yeah, why? You know, that show's not done much
anymore. I don't know. I want to ask everybody why.
If only we knew the managing director of a popular theater company somewhere nearby.
I don't think Cabrillo or Five Star's ever done it, actually.
Wow. Well, it's time to jump in. That's a great show. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a great show.
Yeah, I love that show. Now I got to ask: are we saying Notre Dame or Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Okay. When reading this book for the first time, I remember being really struck by the differences, but also the similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's such a long book; it's a really mm-hmm. significant piece of writing. Is there anything from the book that you miss in the characters here in the show?
There is. It's interesting that you say that. Some things I think. As a musical, you will like the characters more, especially
yeah.
Phoebus's character.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's really just a, for lack of a better expression, a horrible person.
Yeah.
But he isn't that. He has a beautiful arc in the musical. You know, Esmeralda is so much younger in the book. She's 16, I think, and not very worldly wise. And what the essence of her that people love is truly her dancing, and that's what mesmerizes them. But really, she's very unaware of herself, and I think in the musical, she's very aware, and she's
yeah.
very on top of things, and she can read people very well. So a part of that I wish was in the musical a little bit, because
hard to do though, right?
Very.
Can you imagine?
Oh yeah.
But you're right. That kind of depth, it's something that the book does such a good job of capturing
yeah.
that. And I think the musical does a good job of kind of insinuating that through the songs in a more condensed form,
mm-hmm.
but also making it child friendly, where those are still hinted at, and you can talk about them with your kids later a little bit too,
yes.
and say you're going to meet people who are broken or who are hurt or who have problems, and how can you help them through that? And it's not always just about you. You know, in your feelings,
correct.
Which I think is a great part of this show that's not really in a lot of Disney musicals
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When did it come time for you to have your magnificent singing voice move into another direction, which is doing these things that you've done on television? When did that start? Or was that something that you were pursuing? Did it just happen?
It kind of just happened. I mean, I did a lot of Disney recordings and still do.
Mm-hmm.
But with Rick Logan is usually the one who hires me for the studio sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the blue, he'll email me, and I always say yes because I know it's going to be something tremendous
yeah.
to do, like being on The Voice or singing in Ready Player One with Steven Spielberg
oh, cool.
in the room and giving us direction. And I was like, this is it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Just a moment you'll always remember. You know?
So with The Voice, what exactly did you
so
do?
It was The Voice finale. God forgive me, I cannot remember the year that it was. And we walked on and sang one of the last songs for the girl who was in the competition.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet the judges? And
yeah, you know, they're just people. They were over ordering Starbucks that was underneath the stage, and, you know, there's right. Pharrell. And like, there's Pharrell. Oh, my God. It was really cool.
And Adam and
mm-hmm.
all of them. Huh?
Yeah, it was really
fun.
Neat.
I want to shift gears briefly. Obviously, the show we're talking about is The Hunchback of Notre Dame with 5-star theatricals. I wanted to talk a little bit about what 5-star does, and obviously there's a great legacy there in that theater. This is your second show with them, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So at the end of the show, of course, you know, after the huge standing ovations that we give here in America, the company always gets, you go out and you get to talk to some of the kids afterwards, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Usually in costume, is that right?
Oh, no.
Sometimes in costume?
Okay.
You have a talk back yeah. in costume, I guess.
Oh, yeah, right?
Oh,
of course,
back, yes.
yeah. And then the performers go out in the audience or go out in the lobby afterwards, you know, once they've dressed out. But it's interesting because the kids get to actually meet a performer and shake their hands and maybe get an autograph if they want to and talk to them a little bit and see the live performer who they just saw embody this character. What's that like for you, especially with a role like Evita or something like that? Has that been unusual and hard?
You know what? I've worked at Disney for 12 years.
Oh, right.
And so not that I've been on stage at Disney, but there are many times where we went out and we would talk to kids actually in costume. And, I mean, there isn't anything like it. You know, you do it to feed your soul, but we absolutely are doing it for generations
yeah.
to come and to inspire them. And, yeah, it's like me seeing Steven Spielberg to me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying I'm like that, but to a child
yeah.
to see, you know.
No, I very much understand that parallel.
Yeah,
it's an accessibility
right.
that they wouldn't have otherwise. The talkbacks at 5-star are always great. I don't know if you've ever seen one, Michael. But, of course, in a tribute to two of my favorite people, Ray and Cindy Murray, who's one
we
of my favorite.
We love Cindy Murray.
Yes, she is. truly something special and bringing so much energy to the arts. But the idea of, hey, if we don't reach school children, if we don't go out there and try to touch so these important. Lives, then there's no legacy for theater going on in the next generation.
Well, so, and you know, Five Star has a program called Beyond the Footlights, and excellent. They have reached over 49,000 underserved children in audiences. Mm-hmm. And since the inception of that program, in need seniors, active military have enjoyed Five Star theatrical productions, and at no charge, I might add.
Yeah.
What a great gift to give to the community.
No doubt about it. And of course, Five Star always works to keep their prices affordable for people. Prices for this show start as low as $35. And the theater's huge. You can find great seats no matter where you are in there, obviously. Again, the name of the show is The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And it's running with Five Star Theatricals beginning April 20th. The easiest way to get tickets is www.5, that's the number 5, startheatricals.com.
Or call 800-745-3000. And the end and last performance in the run is April 29th. So you've got a 9-day run, April 20th to the 29th. Plenty of time to get your tickets. Just pick up the phone and do it. You know, you live with that phone in your hand. Put it on your ear and dial the right number.
Well, one of the things about doing State of the Arts that I've seen is there's so many people who would go to see a show if they only knew about it. I'll get a random text or a random email from somebody saying, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I went to go see the show. I never would have known about it except I heard you guys and that sort of thing. And it's interesting to find out how many shows there are going on around the Southland, but how hard it is for people to find out about things that aren't in their direct area. Now, I know Five Star has people come from all over the valley, all over Southern California to see it. What are some of the other outreach programs you guys are doing particularly well that you're trying to reach people who are a little further outside Thousand Oaks,
California? Well, one of the things that I wanted to mention when you were talking about the Beyond the Footlights is our Buy a Bus program,
right,
which we are expanding, actually, with Beauty and the Beast. Our goal is to have an entire Wednesday matinee performance, which is an added performance that is the entire 1,800-seat theater, which is all bused underprivileged kids who probably would not have seen a Broadway-caliber show.
Wow.
if not for these amazing sponsors and donors who buy these buses for them to
many
come
of the
see
first
the
show they've ever seen of
exactly,
any kind. They
exactly.
walk in the theater for
and we're hoping to expand that program because, you know, kids go on field trips throughout the school year. So
yeah.
with Shrek and Matilda and West Side Story coming up the next year, we figured those are all kid-friendly shows.
Yeah.
And so we're hoping to have that for each of those.
How can people buy a bus?
If you go to 5starTheatricals.com, it's on there as well, or call that exact same number that you mentioned and that is also on the website. Anyone in the office can guide you to the right place.
So if you want to do something just purely good, give some kids the chance to go see theater, check this program out, go to the website, and find out not only about this, but the other wonderful things that this company's doing.
And it's a company that was formerly known as Cabrillo Music Theater, and when Will became the managing director of what is now called Five Star Theatricals, he made a lot of changes, and I think all of the things that you've done, sir, are for the better of this company mm-hmm. in a huge yeah. way and have been very recognized from the moment you took over in that capacity. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, congratulations on that. So we are kind of coming close to the hour of the end of the show. Right?
And now, embarrassing moments.
Oh, no!
They both just left.
Yes, she's sweating. Someone's sweating
over
here.
They were terrified.
Beads of sweat coming down
right.
from people's foreheads. All right, who's first? Will North, I think you're up.
Okay, all right, so... you know, there's this the scripture called it's Psalm 43 that says it's I might butcher it a little bit. Basically, the point is it
real
says
good butcher the Bible on our
oh,
show.
Oh,
thanks
no, no,
a lot, man.
But it may not be verbatim, but it says I lifted you out of the pit and set you on solid ground. That was in my bio. The
I think
first
that's
couple
accurate
of,
as well. Nicely done.
That was in my bio. The first couple of Five Star shows because my first experience with Five Star was an invited dress performance of Cats, the very first number. they had freshly painted the stage. I'm in tights, and you know, you've got that adrenaline going, and we hadn't run anything since they freshly painted the stage. It was much slicker than before. I go to do my slide down to the downstage center area, slide right off into the orchestra pit. They had Jonathan Burke, amazing guy, had just put a net there, and I actually did a somersault headfirst into the net, bounced off the trombone player, grabbed the front of the pit, and pulled myself out and delivered the line. So much to the point that a lot of my friends who came to see the invited dress thought it was part of the show. Meanwhile, the stage manager and Lewis, the you know, former artistic director, were freaking out. They're running backstage, make sure, you know, I haven't broken anything or whatever. But anyway, that's my most embarrassing moment, is that I fell into the pit as a cat. But that, the great thing about that verse is that the Lord did raise me from the pit and give me a solid place to stand.
So. And suddenly all that fight training pays off, because you're just used to falling as a fight choreographer. You're like, true. Look, it's going to happen. That's so funny. That's a great one. Now, what year was that?
That was 2008.
And now you are out of the pit and standing on solid ground. A great one. Very good. Cassie, what you got for us?
Okay. So I did the Aladdin show for 10 years, and surely there's something, a million things that went wrong, embarrassing moments, but this for me is the most embarrassing moment. So I'm on stage, and I don't exactly know what happened, but my pants got unbuckled.
We give extra points for nudity on the show, so congratulations.
And my pants fell down.
Oh, no.
And it's a 2,000 seat theater. I mean, there are 2,000 children. I'm so sorry.
Oh, this was a children's show?
I mean, I was wearing briefs, so it wasn't like you saw anything. And I grabbed them so fast. I mean, it was like split second, and I thought nobody saw it. Nobody saw it. Nobody could have seen it. So I'm walking to lunch, and I hear someone say, "I'm so glad we came to the show that Jasmine's pants fell down." And that was my most embarrassing
That's
moment,
because
I thought I had hit it.
Did they know it was you, or did they just happen to say it and you overheard them say it?
Oh, no, I overheard them.
Oh, that is so terrifying.
Isn't that terrible?
And yet awesome at the same time. It's awful and wonderful.
And then I was thinking, what are the percentages of people with their phones out? Because everybody is taping
their course, yeah.
They tape everything now. So 10% is how many?
I don't know.
Just look at it this way. That audience got more than they purchased. You know,
that's right.
Price of admission to Disneyland.
And ain't nobody complaining about that. Although I will say, explaining to that some kids, you know, well, even in that time, you know, people had to wear belts and that sort of thing. Clothing's very difficult.
Absolutely.
Now, you did the magic map as well, there's, right?
At Disney?
Oh, my. Did you meet Justin doing that? Did you know Justin? I think he did that show as well. Justin Michael Wilcox.
Mickey and the Magical Map, I don't think Justin Michael
Wilcox. No, he did Aladdin. You're right.
He was in Aladdin with me, yes.
So many great performers have their roots at Disney, and going through experiences like that, you don't realize some of those are going to be the biggest performance, biggest crowd you'll ever perform for.
Oh,
you know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
amazing.
Oh yeah, and there's, I mean, it's just amazing the technology they have.
Did you see the Pantages production?
I didn't.
The national tour. It is spectacular.
Yes.
Beyond spectacular.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
We had their stars in here, and they were the nicest, coolest, most interesting people, and who have done this show so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, oh boy, when you see it on the stage, it's like the very first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the music and the actual, the set at one point gets, during the middle of the show, gets a standing ovation.
Wow.
When it comes down.
They know how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
They know how to do it.
They spare no expense with that.
Well, the show we spent some time talking about today, and what a pleasure it was The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Absolutely.
With the wonderful 5-star theatricals. Obviously, go online, visit their website, 5starttheatricals.com. Check out tickets, which are very affordable. And more importantly, get out, get off that couch, and go see some theater, like we always say on this show.
So. And check out those tickets one more time. You can call 800-745-3000 or go on to the website, 5starttheatricals.com. And student, senior, and group discounts are available. So to get together your friends and put a group together, you'll get a little discount off that, and you'll see a hell of a show.
Also, critics are raving, of course, about All Right Then, which is now playing, and you can check that out online as well.
Yep.
Some great performers in there, and so many great shows going on around the Southland. We thank you for listening today. Michael, great to sit across from you for a bit.
As always, a pleasure. Andrew, thank you.
Want to give a big thank you to both these people here next to us. Yeah, thank you both for joining us. We greatly appreciate that.
Thank you. You're welcome back anytime.
Please do. Come back and see us. And Michael, where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.